Okay, here we are, back with you on the 27th of December, the year 2022. Not many days left, and then we'll be over the New Year's hump and rolling into 2023. God help us all. I hope you heard Frosty last hour, everyone, and if you didn't, we'll try and make it available in his columnist section on the left-hand side of the homepage. Very, very touching, very moving, and he's correct. We should remember our parents and all those around us who matter in life need to be acknowledged every day, at least thought of, and when you have a chance, you tell them how you feel about them. Okay, now it's time to bring on a lot here. First up, let's bring on my favorite elf, little Erica. Hello there, young lady.
Hi, Jeff. Elf on a shelf. Isn't that something going around now?
I think so. And thank you very much. I honestly must apologize for getting the ashes all over your living room floor when I came down the chimney. I blew it.
All cleaned up.
You did?
Yeah, all cleaned up.
You didn't call the cops on me either, which is very sweet. Thank you. Would have ruined my Christmas. We have done a lot in the last 2 years. Now we're just about to start our third year. And this is pretty much going and has gone as we unfortunately forecast early on. It's gotten worse. I do think things are compounding every day. I think we're going to see a tremendous increase in it. I hope I'm wrong, but it does look very much like that's happening. And we will not be told. They are not going to tell us. It will not be in the flat-screen TV so-called newscasts, which are nothing more than mental programming. That's all they are. We're going to have to follow it and figure it out ourselves. We'll do our best here to continue to inform you as we do. This is journalism with a medical background to it. If you're new to the program, Erica is a remarkable scientist, MIT grad, and we look into areas that few will talk about. We look into areas that many talk about, but we don't stop. We do our research and we present it as honestly as we can. We've always done that. That's just what we do and who we are. So thank you for being here, and I know it's been difficult for some of you who have lost loved ones. In fact, I'll bet the majority of you have lost someone you know, or perhaps multiple people you know, and it's tragically, it's going to accelerate, and we've got to be ready for it somehow, some way. Anything you want to add to that?
Oh, I agree. It's really quite a horror to watch and almost unbelievable what's happening.
Well, for those of you out there who don't know, I'm sure most of you do, it's not easy to do this kind of work. It's difficult. And that's asking for no kudos from anyone. It's just, it's a very grim, a very calculated mass extermination of humanity. And it is being done by an intelligence, you can go with it where you want, that seems to enjoy human suffering. I don't think that's a stretch. These people are dying horribly. And like that 17-year-old boy, can you tell us about that? Or do we go to that later on? That was a stunner.
I think it was a girl. And
girl?
Yeah, it's a tragic Christmas Day event. This was a young girl that had apparently had one shot well over a year ago. And I guess appeared to be doing okay. I don't know if there was any symptoms. Well, there probably were symptoms if she didn't go for a second dose.
Right.
But who knows? If it was a J&J, all she needed was one dose. But anyway, Christmas Day, she was complaining of chest pain, and I believe the story went that she was sitting on the floor opening Christmas presents and kind of clutched her chest and winced in pain and then passed out and died.
That was it. Wow. See, these are not only family horrors, they're horrors that are being experienced to one degree or another in an endless series of circumstance that are similar to that, whether it takes a minute, a moment, or a week, or a month. People are dying horribly. Perhaps that young lady got lucky. She took the shot to buy a weapon. She was in trouble and successfully was able to deal with it. But at least she didn't have to go through a year or two in the medical system, being tested constantly, being prodded, poked, perhaps surgically intervened. Maybe she was fortunate. Maybe she was blessed to get out just that quickly. I don't like these kinds of stories at all. But the things we've heard and the things we presented, people who are just physiologically being destroyed, and it's in slow motion sometimes.
I would agree. Some of them have a whole constellation of issues, and many of them are not tying it to the vax. And I've seen a little bit of a pattern with that. The people that are indoctrinated into the Rockefeller medicine paradigm of health seem to be the ones least likely to question their current state of disease, because they are used to taking pills, having procedures, just doing whatever their doctors tell them
tests,
to do.
This is the age of testing.
Handing out prescriptions and just dealing with symptoms.
Yeah.
And so they're used to being, you know, almost like taking their car to a mechanic when something's wrong. You just drop it off and have them fix it. Well, they're doing the same thing, essentially, with their health. You know, drag their body to a doctor and get the prescription and do what he says, and then the next time breaks, you repeat the process.
Unfortunately, the fixes are no longer guaranteed. It's not like replacing a carburetor or a fuel injector.
Right.
You're in trouble. When you're in trouble, you're in trouble, and it's not.
Well, they've
joke.
Never had a reason to really question the system. Up till now, they haven't really, in their opinion, been steered wrong. If they get a prescription that alleviates the symptom du jour, then they're happy, and so they've never really questioned it. So why would they question it now? They're used to being unwell in some form. And they're used to having someone else remedy the problem for them.
And when you're out and about, dear friends, and you see lots of people, many of them fit that exact outline that you just got. They're dealing with multiple issues that may be subclinical, maybe they're minor inconveniences, maybe they're major. But people are in denial. They'll deny. They will not look at that bioweapon as being the cause of their problems in many cases. And I understand why. It's human nature. You don't want to admit, for Christ's sake, that you've just killed yourself in slow motion or fast motion. It doesn't matter. People are in denial.
I think some people are, you know, it's not even denial. It's the not even questioning, not even asking, why am I sick like this?
No.
They're used to being, as I said, in a less than optimal state of health, and some periods are better than others, and sometimes you go into a slump, and then they probably just think it's a slump.
Oh, it becomes the norm. It's the new normal for them, and gosh,
it's just another disease cycle.
One would hope that they could remember back in the days when they weren't sick and they felt good. A lot of people, you can look at them, and I swear, I can tell in many cases who doesn't feel well. It's all over their face. They don't feel well. Look in their eyes. They don't feel well. The color's not right. They're pallid. You can tell. There's no spring in their step.
A lot of them now do have a kind of a, just a pasty grayness to them.
Right. Right. Okay, we have a video here. It's a very well done segment with Del Bigtree and Dr. Ryan Cole, who really lays it out. And it's interesting to see the progress that Ryan has made, Dr. Cole, in the last 2 years, where he was and where he is now. He's still every bit as honorable as he always was, but he is saying things now that are rather stunning. And if all of you remember the big flap about the self-assembling, biological, this and that's, transceivers, programming devices that show up, they're little machines. What was the latest one? Biological parasites. That was the latest, one of the latest ones. And he's made the point that you introduced first, and that is the simple fact that these products, these so-called vaccines, they're death shots, are made in multiple different locations, in multiple different labs, and they are full of contaminants. And you remember the big Hydra hoax? It was a contaminant. It actually came from the bottom of a leaf of a houseplant. And anyway, that's just one teeny tiny example. But he does speak clearly about a lot of these crystalline formations, which are viewed almost instantly without even thinking by those who are conspiratorially oriented as being some kind of an evil device that is hidden in the vax liquid or forms in the vax after it's injected into you. No, they're not. They're not that at all. You'll hear in the video what they really are. So we can start that any time. We'll stop it and maybe comment here and there. But it's Dr. Ryan Cole. You ready to roll on this?
Yeah.
Okay. This is Del Bigtree with Dr. Ryan Cole, pathologist extraordinaire.
Professors had access to over 100 vials from three different manufacturers, different lots, and they went ahead and, because, you know, we can look at it and suppose it's this or that, and there are, you know, bless their hearts, there are a lot of colleagues and scientists that take their medical school microscope and they're trying to, you know, they're curious, and then they add to the literature, oh gosh, you know, the graphene this or nanobot that or scary parasite this, and so there's so many conjectures out there.
And to be clear,
and I admire that they have the curiosity, don't get me wrong,
right, but to be clear, we were not able to answer all the questions looking through a microscope. One of them being, we were seeing this thing that we were calling a rod. It was interesting, and it's hard to see. It's hard to capture on the video cameras. But you would see like a rod, and then you would move it, and then it would sort of turn on, and all of a sudden when you turn on its side, you'd realize, oh, wait, that's not a, it's not a,
it's a
line.
Flat plate.
It's like a flat plate.
Right.
And that's where we're like, oh, is that, would that be the graphene oxide? We hear about this two-dimensional thing.
Yeah.
Here
we have a picture.
Looks something like this.
And so it looks like that. And
they're showing a picture of it. And many people call these flat plates microcircuits, transceivers. Wrong. We've been led down a path of such gross disinformation and sci-fi speculation by people who should know better. But they don't, or they're being paid not to, one or the other. It's not even funny. All right, here.
It's fun to, you know, have a fantasy-thinking mind. However, guess what? These are cholesterol crystals. And here's what's interesting. That spike protein is incredibly inflammatory to the lining of our blood vessels.
Okay.
All of us have a little cholesterol plaqued on the walls of our vessels. But when you get that inflammatory process going, now those cholesterol crystals due to inflammation are broken loose. And now
so they get cast off,
cast
and now they're
off.
Free floating out
yeah,
there.
And so look at this. Well, doesn't that look like microcircuitry and a self-assembly nanochip is what you hear online? No, it's just stacked layered cholesterol.
Wow.
It's just stacked layered cholesterol. And you know, am I just looking at that shape and saying it's cholesterol? Well, yes. But in addition, we'll have the big reveal here in a minute. But, you know, we looked at this with three.
Okay. Erica, how many times did we have to sit through and look at videos being presented by others on, in, supposedly in the alt media, where they're talking about these pieces of cholesterol as being microcircuits, some evil creation that was put into these shots or was coded for in the shots, and they were created after the injection was completed, and they were nefarious, to put it mildly. How many times? 100? 200? I don't know.
Oh, it was countless. It was countless. But I want to go back and give credit to Doctors Richard Fleming and Kevin McCairn, who were quick to debunk that. I think it was November of last year. They had a microscope, and they did exactly what, you know, Dr. Ryan Cole is doing now, and no one wanted to believe them.
No. No. It doesn't sell. The idea
it doesn't
is to sell
That's
people
what it is.
On a scam, because it's got pop and sizzle and flash and, wow, it's sci-fi, and it's intriguing to the average mind, and it would explain the inexplicable. But it doesn't explain anything. These are perfectly normal circumstances. Go ahead. Anything else? Yeah.
Well, no. It to me, people that come out with these. I mean, these are some of these people were fairly, I would think, well credentialed, and to come up with these scenarios and narratives, I was rather shocked.
Yeah.
You know that they wouldn't take the time to read the literature that's out there, what we know about the spike protein, what we know for sure is in the vax, and to try to piece it together in a logical fashion without filling in the blanks with this fantastical narrative.
Biological parasites, self-assembling microcircuitry. You've seen it. You've all seen it. It's all crap. It's just crap. That's all it ever was. Here we go.
Different types of mass spec, six types of analytical clinical chemistry,
uh-huh.
And those studies were very revealing in what was there and what wasn't there.
Yeah, well, let's get into it. Let's do what the mass spec shows. So these are your friends out in Germany.
Friends in Germany, and I sat down personally with them, went through you know, their data sets, and so we kind of congealed the data from 100 into, you know, one presentation-like form.
Okay.
And what did they find? Well, they found...
Take me through it.
What do we find? Right. Okay. Are there contaminants? Sure. Are there metallic particles in these? Yes. Aluminum, silicon, magnesium, you know, sodium chloride, calcium, titanium, iron, etc. Yes, there are contaminants.
And what is mass spec? Just for those of us that...
Okay, before we get into mass spectrometry, the contaminant issue is huge. And Erica was the first person I heard mention it. And she nailed it immediately when we saw the Hydra hoax, the Happy Hydra hoax. That was a fraud from the beginning for a number of reasons. It is a contaminant. And you just heard him rattle off a list of over 6-8 different things that are commonly found in these. When you make needles, for example, and he's going to mention that in a couple minutes, needles, billions of needles, and you're making them as fast as you can, do you think that each needle is somehow blown off with air, dunked in a fluid, sterilized, and then dried, and then packaged? You better think again. That's not how it works. Those needles have metallic debris on them, depending on what kind of metal they're made from, depending on the process, depending on the people handling them, etc. I mean, it's ridiculous. So he's going to explain mass spec right now.
What does that term mean? Is it?
Yeah, okay. Okay, let's make this simple. Everything at an atomic level has a mass and a spectrum. So you literally have to destroy the sample, and then as it basically flames off, it'll have a signature for its mass and its color that it puts off.
Okay.
And so you can break one thing down into all the multiple elements that make it up. So it's a very special, expensive process and machine, and used in industry, used in lab medicine, to identify what are the constituent parts of something.
Okay.
And so it's like the gold standard in in hormone testing, we use it. It's gold standard in all sorts of manufacturing industries, just to make sure something is pure. You can detect the impurities. Why are these other things within that makeup of that particle?
Okay. All right. So back to this.
Okay. So okay. This one just shows they're contaminating metals. Now, it's interesting. A small study was done that showed if you took some fluid out of the vials with a pipette, took some out with a needle, some of these metals are actually coming from rapidly manufactured needles.
Really?
Yeah.
So they just said, let's do one with a needle, same with formulation, but just do it plastic, and they found metals in it that weren't in the plastic one.
Right, that were in the one drawn with the needle. So not only were these vials and these products manufactured quickly, think of how many billions of needles had to be made like that. And
they cheap, they're flaking off or whatever.
Where did they come from? Who made them, et cetera? Are they stainless steel or not? So, again, science and medicine requires purity and inspection. And as much as everybody thought this might have been a good idea, well, now we're seeing basically the aftermath.
Yeah.
And there are things in there that you don't want in your body. I don't want those trace metals in me.
Yeah.
So those were in some of those, and in fact, all the manufacturers, contaminating particles in AstraZeneca, and I won't go over all the chemicals, but contaminating particles in Moderna as well, contaminating metals. So again, under the microscope, those who are looking at these, what's this shape or what's that thing?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of those are the contaminants from the manufacturing process. Because think of it, you got an assembly line going zip, 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 and bottle after bottle after bottle, and lid, and quick gasket, and et cetera. That's why Japan rejected them. They're like, wait, there's too much particulate material here that it absolutely isn't lipid nanoparticle and polyethylene glycol and mRNA, and so they rejected those. So that accounted for some problems early on, I think. Now, as the boosters have come out, I think they're more concentrated, and we haven't had the opportunity yet to get any of the bivalent vials, and I'd be curious to do a comparative at some point on those. So there's contamination. That's one thing we do know. But let's go to what's not in there, or what's in there in ratios that we thought might be different. So there's one on one thing is polyethylene glycol, and that kind of protects it coats the lipid nanoparticle and protects the particle in the mRNA.
Okay. Please explain very, very simply the mRNA, right? The lipid nanoparticle, the LNP, and the PEG, the propylene glycol, on top of that. How does that little structure work, and why the LNP and why the PEG on top of that? Just simple.
Well, okay, so you can't really put naked RNA, mRNA, into the body because it'll pretty much be destroyed before it can get into a cell to be read and translated into a protein. So they've got to put it with something that's biocompatible, and they choose lipids because, well, your cell membranes are made of lipids, and this thing can fuse with the membrane and make its way into the cell
and then discharge the cargo. Lipids are fats.
Fats, yes, correct, fats.
And they allow the mRNA to get into the cell, and then there's PEG covering the fat, the lipids, on the outside. What is that there
for? Right, so you need the PEG so it will disperse in the aqueous environment of the bloodstream, so it doesn't clump together. Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Ryan Cole mentioned that it's for to keep it stable, frozen, which is, that there's probably some truth to that as well, but the main reason is to hold it all together so that it can make its way around the body. And the ratio that they use for PEG to the lipid cationic lipids is important, because too much and you won't get it to where it needs to go, and if there's too little, then what happens is it breaks down too early. You get the attention of the immune system, and it won't be able to transfect the cells that it needs to transfect, which is kind of curious. If you remember, their intent was to have this thing be uptaken by immune cells, which kind of contradicts this whole thing about how much PEG you should actually put in there. So they've made it so that this thing can be dispersed widely throughout the body rather than just staying at the injection site.
Right. One of the biggest lies of thousands of lies that we were fed was that, oh, don't worry, it'll stay right at the injection site.
No, it goes into the bloodstream, and now because of this PEG that it's complexed with, it goes everywhere. And then they know this now because of the biodistribution studies that they did. They know it goes the liver, the spleen, the adrenals, the ovaries, the bone marrow, the brain, the heart.
They knew that in the beginning. We're the ones who know it now. We've found it out through lab work and others. It goes immediately into the blood, and the blood, what's the blood do a full circulation around the body once every how often? It's very quick. The blood is
a couple minutes.
Yeah, something like that. Very quick.
And then they would argue that, no, it doesn't go into the bloodstream unless you've actually punctured a vessel, but it's nano, and whether you
right
puncture
the
blood vessel or not, this thing, it's going everywhere. I mean, that's the power of nanotechnology. It's so small that membranes are no barrier to it. It slips right through.
Very good. All right, let's go back to Dr. Ryan Cole with Dell Bigtree.
There was a complete, across all these analytical studies and mass spec done.
And this PEG, by the way, just is one of the things that there is an allergy that exists to PEG. This is one of the concerns because it's in a lot of different products and things that we use out there. So wherever there's access to bodies, some people have developed an allergy to this. And it was one of the concerns of the vaccine, right?
Correct. And so that acute anaphylactic death that we saw in many patients, about 70% of the Western world, we have an antibody to it, which is a pre-primed allergic reaction to have that antibody.
Now, this is the stuff that people say, it's got antifreeze in the vaccine, right?
That's propylene glycol. This is polyethylene glycol, but it's still put here to help preserve and protect the particle at cold temperatures.
Okay.
But, and it's not antifreeze from your car, so I want to dispel that myth.
Okay.
But it's added to protect the nanoparticle at cold temperatures. Polyethylene glycol, the ones we consume, you know, cosmetics and pill casings, et cetera, it's either topical or through the GI tract. We don't inject PEG into ourselves. So, I mean, to have, you know, a topical exposure to it is one thing and develop an antibody, but to inject it into the human system, that's not a good idea. And studies show, then this is the thing about polyethylene glycol, your most important cell, your Pac-Man cell, your garbage truck cell, that will eat an invader and then present it on its surface and then say, hey.
Like your macrophage.
Yeah, your macrophage. Yeah. They say to your immune system, hey, I've got this little thing I gobbled up, I'll put it on my surface. Polyethylene glycol inhibits that process. So now the main cell that you want presenting an antigen and stimulating an immune response is blunted by polyethylene glycol in the system. So
it's getting in the way of the
proper immune response.
And so what did we see in these when we were looking at PEG?
So inconsistency is what we saw. So homogeneous polyethylene glycol coating, it's a mix of lengths of the PEG. And so if you get a bunch of them in some vials, that's going to be a lot more irritating. And so we saw consistent inconsistency in the batches.
Right.
So some vials had a lot of it, some had very little. And here you see inhomogeneous PEG coating. It has a short lifetime, which is good because now it's less harmful. But those thick, dense batches of different lengths persisting for a longer time, now you're going to mess up that immune response we were just talking about.
Right.
So that's concerning. And so, again, what we saw on mass spec is consistent inconsistency.
Okay. But harmful. These are harmful.
That's a harmful molecule. And here you can see, again, graph lot to lot.
Totally different.
How much
just
is there? Totally,
the
all over the map. So again, inconsistency in manufacturing, and if you are putting a product into humanity, you want to know that it's going to be safe and effective. Well, we know that these aren't effective now. It doesn't matter if it's effective if it's not safe.
So let me ask you the million-dollar question. We got the mass spec back,
Over 100 vials.
Okay, for all of you graphene oxide devotees, put on your seatbelt.
On through mass spec. Really the burning question for me, did we find graphene oxide in any of the vaccines?
Absolutely not.
None.
Zippo, zero, nada. None. And so those little flakes that we were seeing, those little lines and floating things, those are three things. Those are those cholesterol crystals we saw.
Okay.
And there's a cholesterol-cholesterine spike on some of these mass spec graphs. And Pfizer has a lot of salt and some sugars. Moderna has more sugar, a little less salt. And we're also seeing those little plates are also salt flakes and salt crystals, these cholesterol crystals and sugar crystals as well. And so at the end of the day, the mass spec showed that that's what it was. These vials have lipid content. They have polyethylene glycol content in varying ratios. Yeah. They have salts. They have sugars. They do have genetic material. And that's what was in the vials. And then, you know, some lots had some contaminants.
Contaminants, not self-assembling microcircuits out to control your brain and make you a slave through the 5G network. No. No. Well, you nailed it in the beginning. You said, you kept telling me off air even, these things are being made in less than sterile circumstances by people who often don't give a damn about what they're doing. It's just rush, rush, rush. And there, you said the potential for contamination is all over the map. And you were right. And now we have...
It was obvious. It was obvious right from the beginning.
Yeah. All right. Here we go.
So my main point is it's fun to conjecture what's in them, what's not, and you get all these red herring pathways that people are worried about or scaremongering about.
Red herring pathways that people are scaremongering about and worrying about. No, these are lies, and a lot of it is intentional. They want people to be confused. They want people to be drowning in chaos and uncertainty. They want people to think that these are more, my God, they're evil enough. So it just gets to be ludicrous. And this is a very clarifying interview. We have it in guests. I'm putting it in the archive on the right side of the homepage as well. And it's an excellent conversation. And the beginning of it shows blood slides with a drop of the vax, the bioweapon vax, it dropped into clear blood. And what you see what happens. It's pretty damn frightening.
There's lipid nanoparticle and a gene sequence that makes your body make a foreign protein.
Right.
Those two things are necessary and sufficient to cause harm.
Right.
And to get off the beaten path onto all these other things, sure, you want a pure product, but those are the two harmful things there. The lipid nanoparticle is hyperinflammatory and can be toxic to our cells. And when it was designed, these were made to be given once. Mm-hmm. And the studies on giving it two, three, four times aren't there in humans.
Right.
So the cumulative toxicity of the nanoparticle itself is concerning.
No studies, no hard science, and they're now talking about every 8 weeks for a bivalent vax. They're also talking about reconstructing, reconfiguring all childhood vaccines on an mRNA platform. Good luck.
More concerning is the more of this gene you get into your cells that continues to make a protein that has known countless side effects that, you know, we've talked about on other shows, that toxic spike protein. That's what matters.
And that's what I found myself saying along the way. Is like, look, we're going to investigate all these things. I've been promising everyone that's watching this show we're going to look into it. But we've already shown you enough mechanisms, the toll-like receptors being shut down, the potentials to have cancers, the antibody-dependent enhancement issues, the spike protein. It is toxic. It causes clotting all by itself without a vaccine, just in whatever delivery. So With all of that, yes, there may be other things, but I was saying, let's be sure that we are not overstating something we can't prove when there is so much right now that is in the scientific literature that can. All right, so to have a little bit more fun, if you will, there's been this idea that there's like an amoeba or an alien. I just want to show some of the images that we've sort of seen on this.
Right. This is the Happy Hydra hoax.
And it got a lot of traction. This crazy looking thing, at one point it looked like it was moving. There was a guy out, I think in Germany or Russia, someone that found another one. And you had a fairly, when I was in the lab, you had a fairly simple explanation for us. And you sat down the computer. Let's just do a computer search on what it is we're looking at.
All right, this one's fun.
So talk me through it.
All right. Nature. We live in nature. Our environment is full of things. I recognize this right away as botanical. That's from the bottom of a leaf. You see it a lot on the bottom.
It is a stellata trichome.
Yes, stellate trichome.
Okay.
And stellate star-like. And this is on the bottom of leaves. And doesn't that look scary?
If that appears in a microscope from a leaf, then this is what it looks like
in a
microscope.
So if you're doing microscopy in a living room, or you're doing it in a non-laboratory setting and environment, you're going to get all sorts of particulates in the air. Go home and put some tape on your windshield and put it under a microscope, and you're going to see.
Look at that one. It looks like an alien.
Know.
You're saying that's just the bottom of this leaf.
That's the bottom of a leaf floating around in the air.
Okay. All right. We're going to pause there. You can look at the whole interview. Just take a look under guests, under our names. You'll see it there. It'll be on the right-hand side of the home page and the archives as well. These are not evil machines. They're normal. They're just contaminants. They come off the bottom of leaves of plants. And that you've seen them. It's exactly what you saw when that big rollout of these. The Hydra, oh my God, the Hydra's innocent. People were talking about how they were going to replicate and take over the body and go into the brain, these Hydras, and they were evil in their design from the beginning to take over the human body. It was astonishing. And the first time we looked at this, Erica said, no, wait a minute. She said, that's a contaminant. That's all that is. And she nailed it. And for those of you who have been listening for any length of time, that this goes way back. And much of what you've heard in this interview, we were talking about well over a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. So it's great to see it finally come out. And some of you will ask, well, why is it coming out now? Why are they letting it out now? And our guess is that they have achieved pretty much what they want to have achieved. So they don't care anymore. They've got over 5 billion people with at least one shot, over 13, 14 billion injections given on this planet. So it's game, set, and match. What do they care now? They know people are so confused, they're not going to be able to put this together and come up with any kind of a cohesive method of action. And what methodology would they use to go after the perpetrators? There are none. So they don't care. That's why the truth is finally beginning to be let out and talked about. You won't see it on the nightly news, though. Not a chance.
There are still people, and in fact, I heard or read an account today where, these Twitter files that are being released now, the mainstream media disciples believe that it's all fabricated.
I know. Well, I know. It's pretty... Like I say, game, set, and match. They've accomplished this first stage, which is the decimation of the human population. What's next? I don't know. But it's going to be a grim...
They've got this transgene now in... Well, I don't know how many people have actually taken the genetic transfection shots as opposed to just a, the traditional vaccine for this coronavirus. But let's just say... Mm-hmm. A couple billion anyway now have this transgene in them. They're producing it.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt it's having recombination opportunities with other viruses. I mean, this gene now is going to be endemic. And what the long-term consequences of that is, I don't know. It's not going to be pretty.
We'll find out. Yeah,
I mean, it's a gene
pretty.
that produces a protein that is capable of inducing cancer or contributing to cancer, if not causing cancer, clotting, neurodegeneration.
Yeah, that's sad.
All of that. And it can be shed on its own and just contaminate the environment on its own.
Yeah, all right. Shedding, number one priority now for those of you who have not been injected. We're having reports of people who have not been injected, who are hanging around. Maybe they have to. Maybe they have to work around them, whatever. Or they're voluntarily doing it, not realizing the danger they're in because the TV didn't tell them. But you are in danger. You need to minimize your contact with your vax opposite counterparts. You must. And that works both ways, as I've explained many times. Okay, let's go over to our human side of the of this crisis, which is not going away, and take a look at some more real case histories, so to speak, that you will never hear about through the controlled mainstream media. Where do you want to start?
Well, there was an interesting thread on holiday shedding.
I see it. Okay. Go ahead. Start.
Okay. Spending two nights at the in-laws for Christmas. Arrived yesterday afternoon. There are 11 of us. Nine sleeping under the same roof. Only my two kids, age 10 and 5, and myself, are not vaxxed. Thankfully, the conversations have been civil. Nothing mentioned at all, which is surprising with this crowd. They know they don't want to hear my side, so there's that. I fell asleep early last night, feeling a little off. Woke up so nauseated and exhausted, I still haven't shaken it off. I haven't been around this many people who have had the vax, nor in such close proximity for any length of time. Not saying it's connected, but I'm inclined to think so. Let's see how the next 24 hours go. And there were many replies. First one. Every time I am around them, I get a headache, and it takes me 24 hours to get rid of it. I was at my aunt's for a Christmas party. There were only a few that have not indulged in the dessert. It only took 20 minutes of being there, and I had a headache. Next one. Get some DMG, amino acid. All of your fears will go away of the shedding. It doesn't allow them to shed on you and duplicate in cells. Yeah, if only.
Mm.
DMG is dimethylglycine. It's a methyl donor. It does not prevent replication of a virus. So I don't know where this person's getting that from.
Mm. Go ahead with number two.
Okay, next person. That's how I feel when I get in close proximity. Also, at times, my throat gets sore. One time, I lost my voice for a couple weeks this last summer. Almost always, after being around the poked ones, I wake up early in the night with extreme headaches that feel almost like a hangover, and nothing will ever touch the headache. And reply to that comment, that's scary, because the nanobots go to the brain, detox anyway. Well, if she means the spikes, yes, they do go to the brain. Next one. Spent the day with family yesterday. 13 of them partook. Not my children or myself. Everyone was huggy and kissy. Today, I feel like a pile of garbage. My whole body hurts, and I feel like I've been hit by a car.
Mm-hmm.
And another one says, they shed on you. Has happened to me four or five times in the last year. Usually lasts about 24 hours.
Okay, next group. Continuation here. Well, we'll find
out.
You
got it?
Shedding sent me to the White Building, the hospital, for scans for a suspected...
It's a brain.
Stem stroke.
Brain,
right?
Stem stroke.
I got it. That's spelled S-T-R-O-O-O-H-H-K, Strook. So we're wading through these things, trying to figure them out as we come across them. All right. Shedding sent me to the White Building for scans for a suspected stem stroke.
And that someone little, added little, to that. The icon is a brain. So
oh,
brain
that red,
scans.
That red thing? Okay.
Yes. That's a brain.
I can't. All right. I'm going to do it again now that you corrected me nicely. Shedding sent me to the White Building for brain scans for a suspected brain stem stroke. Now, brain stem, remember that. And an answer to that, pine needle tea might help. Well, good luck. What do you take for shedding? I got symptoms too when around too many that partook in the shots. There's an answer to that. It says, I will message you. Next person. They are now antenna amplifiers for the 5G. And that's why being around them makes you feel bad. The more of them and the more radiation you get. Try high doses of vitamin C. It significantly reduces the symptoms. Spelled S-I-M-P-T-I-M-S. All right. So they are now antenna and amplifiers for the 5G. Well,
there you go. That's the La Quinta Columna narrative.
There it is. We would disagree with that. And it's part of the shill network of disinformation out there. And yes, we think La Quinta Columna is a shill operation. Oh, yes, they are 100% connected, says someone else. You see how they've taken this hook, line, and sinker. You're breathing in the proteins they are expelling. Well, that part of the shedding issue is true. You're inhaling S proteins. Or if you touch somebody, kiss, handshake, whatever, or you grab a doorknob that someone's been sweating on and they grab, you're going to get spike proteins. Another one says, I can't even go have fun in public without sometimes feeling that way afterwards, within just a few hours. I'm about to try some of the things listed above. Answer that, oh, I think it's connected. Someone else says, hanging out with the juiced is as bad as running out to get juiced. So she's saying, this person, hanging out with the vaxxed will end up giving you, essentially, a vax.
That may be
another
true.
One, it could be. Someone says to that, agree? Just hilarious the way you put that, LOL. And the final one in this string, you're braver than I. I wouldn't be able to be under the same roof with that many partakers. I get so physically sick, especially if any of them recently had their drinks. In this case, it would be boosters.
Yeah.
Onwards. Go ahead.
My husband and I have both had issues being around juiced people. Not all of them, and not all the time. We are retired, so avoidance is easier for us. After the juice bars first opened, there was a group that rose to over 100,000 members that discussed these issues. It was for women only, so that female-related issues could be freely discussed, although we spoke in circles to avoid being removed. It made the news and was taken down, but I believe something happens to some of us around juiced people, especially women, or maybe it's just more obvious with women. Several more. Agree. Next one. Oh, no. I have to go to a funeral on Thursday in a small community, small church, where everyone has partaken. Does anyone know if taking ivermectin would help? Someone says, keep us updated. Another one says, take supplements to help amp up your immune system. I can always tell when I have been around buffet eaters. My eyes get all swollen, itchy, and blurry. Drives me crazy. But some extra immune system helpers, and I'm all set. Another one asked, how long do they shed for? Length of time after receiving the donuts, or is it always? another one says, all kinds of illnesses are out there. Someone in your crowd may have passed it to you. You know the kind. Feels a little off, but ain't missing the holidays. Nobody can tell, and they spread whatever they got. All right.
Okay, what would be the cause? And an answer to that, I had the same before when I was around people for two nights. Broke out in complete hives, too. I'm allergic to them and need to stay 6 feet away. Well, do remember 6 feet is just a convenience. It was concocted by Fauci and Debbie Birx. They just made it up. But the idea is distance is safe. Safer than no distance. I'm inclined to agree with you, says the next person. And the person after that says, my dog trainer believes that viruses shed onto others in close proximity. Well, the dog trainer's right. My body did a self-cleanse after spending Christmas Eve with 11...
Faxed.
F-A-K-E-S-E-D. 11 vaxxed family members, spelled faxed. All right. 11 family members faxed on Christmas Eve? No thanks. My husband promised he never would put them, he never would, but then did to keep his job. He did not tell me, his wife, for 2 or 3 months. What the hell kind of a relationship is that? Less than 6 months later, my daughter was diagnosed with Kawasaki syndrome. 5 months after that, I was hospitalized in ICU for 8 days with pericarditis.
Yeah.
Keep us posted. Don't tell them. They'll say you have it, meaning they'll tell you you've got COVID. Go ahead and finish this off. My son is at dad's.
Okay, my son is at his dad's with extra family sleeping over, all jabbed. Now puffy eyes, sore throat, jeez, blocked nose, very tired. And I've been around two family members, including some overnighters, strictly not at my home. And for the last 2 days, I felt extremely heavy and very tired and had to sleep. I hate it. I wish we were both home at our place, just us. Another says, I was around all my family, and they've all had desserts, but neither my husband or I feel any different. And another one says, the stuff is in the exhaling vapors.
Well, that's true. That's one of the primary means of infecting others, shedding upon them. Just exhale. That's all you have to do. These are tiny aerosolized particles with proteins in them, okay? And that's what that little ionizer does. If you see it on the homepage there, just above headline news, a little white one, which we recommend, it's got a polarity to it, so it'll link up with whatever the opposite polarity of whatever item passes by one of the positive or negative ions, and it'll drag it down to the ground, away from you, so you won't breathe it in. That's how they work. It's very simple, and it's actually very practical. It works. We've had a lot of good comments about that. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
There's just a few more here. We're running out of time. We'll have to do it tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow night, Wednesday. And what we want to do tomorrow night is spend a little time with you talking about shedding, but more than that, about brainstem issues and the autonomic nervous system, and how shedding can actually impact the autonomic nervous system of your body. We don't have the hard science, but we believe that that's pragmatic and logical when you're looking at this whole nightmare. It has to do with brainstem.
We do have some hard science to back that up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll pull that together too then. We'll talk about that tomorrow night. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Talk soon. Jeff. My pleasure. All right. Okay. Good night, everyone.
All right. We'll be back in just a few. Hold on.